It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and I pray that you are well. God is keeping and watching over your life. And you know, as we started looking yesterday at the book of 2 Corinthians, we were going through and seeing this message of Paul, and he was facing a death sentence. You know, he was saying that, look here, we were troubled. We were in distress. We were afflicted. We were suffering. You know, he was in Ephesus. He had gone through so many trials and tribulations. Remember, he said, a great and effective door has opened for us, but there are many adversaries. And he is just clear that, you know what? We go through suffering. And each of us, you are also going through suffering. And he was comforting the Corinthian church, telling them that, I know you're going through suffering. You're partaking in the sufferings of Christ. You're suffering for your faith. Some were abandoned by their spouses. Some were abandoned by their families, and their parents abandoned them. Some were facing death and, you know, torture for the sake of the gospel. And Paul is saying that there is a God of all comfort. There is a God that, you know, that comforts us in all our tribulations, in all our trials. It might be sickness. In fact, he says for many days we, you know, we faced the sentence of death, that we even lost hope. We despaired of even life. That you can imagine what a great suffering that even Paul himself loses hope of life. But he says that even in that moment, he received the comfort from the Lord. And with that comfort that he received from the Lord, it is the same comfort that he is now able to pass on to others. You know, there is a time that the things that we go through are not even for us. It is just because God has seen ahead that there is someone who will need to experience that comfort from God. And when you tell them that, you know what, my brother, my sister, I went through this too. I have gone through this, and I received the love of Christ. I received the love of God, and I felt his presence, and he comforted me. And you too are partaking of the same. But set your hearts on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the shame of the cross, despising its shame. There was something that Jesus did. He knew that there is a joy that is set before him. That joy is you and me being made children of God, being accepted by the Father, being accepted into the Beloved. And it did not matter the beatings that he went through. It did not matter the shame that he went through, the pulling of his beards, the spitting on him, the stripping of his clothes, the beating him with shreds, you know, with the stripes on his back. He knew every stripe was a mark of healing for your body. He knew that every bloodshed was to wipe away every pain, every sin. He knew that his death was the price for life. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he knew that his death, by giving himself as a sacrifice, he offers, he opens the way to life, and we too receive the life. And we can be comforted knowing that our master was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin. He was tortured and beaten in his body. He carried our sins. He carried our sicknesses. He carried our pain. And there is nothing that we face today that can compare to what Jesus faced. We think of the pain of cancer. The pain of scourging by the Romans was enough pain, greater than the pain even of cancer. You can think of that pain. You know how the Romans will scourge someone? They will beat him until they were tired. In fact, it wasn't about, I don't know, 39 stripes. You know, we think 39, that's when they reached 39, they were done. No, they will beat him, and they will beat, and they will strip you. In fact, when someone was beaten, it was already like a death sentence, because with all the blood loss, with all the tissue loss, you know, all those whips, hard metals, hard thorns, hard bones, sharp bones and nails, and it was made of dried skin. And when one whip, they would whip and strip off the skin. By the time someone was beaten by that, you can think of the rust on the nails. You can think of all the bleeding from different places, the dehydration. It was just leading someone to be thirsty. And that's why Jesus on the cross just said, I am thirsty. He was already going into shock. Most of the time when the Romans would scourge someone, someone would just die after a few days. Already the scourging was one punishment enough. But on top of that, they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross and he's hanged there naked in front of everyone that he had preached to. The Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who at even a single command, God would have sent legions of angels to come and defend him, to come and fight for him. Yet he endured that for you and me, that he might give us the comfort, that he might send forth the Comforter who is the Holy Spirit, to release, to give us exchange, that every sin he became it, that we might become the righteousness of God. And this righteousness is imputed righteousness. All that means that it is righteousness that you do not work for, that you can never work for, that you can never earn, that you can never pay a price for. It is not righteousness that you can never sacrifice for, that you can never give an offering for. It is righteousness that only Jesus Christ could pay for. No amount of sacrifice can pay for what Jesus did. And that is why we are told obedience is better than sacrifice. God does not delight in bulls and rams and worthless sacrifices and things that just excuse us from the life of obedience that he wants us to walk in. No. What Jesus expects of us is a life of obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Many times people ask, what price must I pay? No, it's not about how much you must do. It's how much you must believe. It's also how much you must be obedient, how much you must be sensitive to his voice, how much you must recognize the love of God and to dwell and focus on that love that surpasses human understanding. To know that the greatest enemy of man was defeated. The enemy can threaten you with death. In fact, Paul says we always had the sentence of death before us. But we were comforted by the life of God. There is a hope that goes beyond this life. There is a hope of the resurrection. There is a hope that the sting of death was defeated. The sting of death, the sting of sin, is sin. Sin was defeated. All the effects of sin were defeated. He became sin that you might become the righteousness. You might be made the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. And when you constantly remind yourself that, then you walk in victory. Because he that is born of God cannot continue to sin willingly. You do not make a habit of sin, no. Because that life of God, that righteousness of God, makes you accepted by the Father. It leads, it breathes life into your mortal bodies. It gives you that sanctification that you need, that holiness, that consciousness that I am right before God. And when you are right before God, then nothing disqualifies you. There is nothing that disqualifies you from getting any answer from God. And that's one of the things that we'll even be seeing today. The promises of God, they are yes and amen in Christ. You know, many times people disqualify themselves because of the things that they have done, because of their past, or because of mistakes that they have made, be it in marriage, be it with their children, be it in the workplace, it is very easy to disqualify yourself if you think that God accepts you based on your own righteousness. But when you understand the righteousness that is by faith, the righteousness that is from first to last, the righteousness that is imputed, that God does not count our sins against us, but he sees what Christ has done and he sees us through Christ. And when we are hidden in Christ, we are shielded. We are forgiven. We are made whole before God. And that is why even today when you stand before God, you can ask him, not on your own righteousness, but on the righteousness of God. Not on any price that you need to pay, but on what Christ has already paid. No man can make a bigger sacrifice than him. All that you need to do is to now be that living sacrifice, that life that is sold out to God, that life that hungers for the presence of God, that life that desires to hear the voice of God, that you find that even your system is rewired, your taste buds are rewired, that you find that the things that move you are not the same things that used to move you in the past. The things that used to enjoy no longer give you pleasure. Why? Because there is a recording even of your genes, of your DNA. There is that recording because you are begotten of the divine seed of God. That divine seed of God that brings life, that changes you from within, that transforms your mind, that makes life, brings life to your bones. In fact, the Bible says the word of God, it shall be health to your bones. Flesh, health to your flesh and health to your bones. Wellness to your bones. Every promises of God are yes and amen. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, that for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things than that what you read or understand. Now I trust that you will understand even to the end, and as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you are also ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this confidence, verse 15, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes and no? No. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. They are yea and amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Verse 23, moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy and for by faith you stand. Let us just read also 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the first the first verses. Verse 1, but I determined this within myself, that I will not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who made sorrowful by me? Now, I want you to understand something that Paul is trying to apologize. And if you remember what we had read in 1 Corinthians 16, he had told them that he wants to pass by them, you know, and is planning to. But he was saying that I will make this God willing, you know, if the Lord permits. And that if you had read that verse, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5, now I will come to you and I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay with you a while if the Lord permits. So Paul had purpose to go through the Corinthian church. And he had planned that if he goes, he will stay with them on his way and come back. But there was something that he had said, if the Lord permits, if God is willing, he was going to do that. But you see, he was unable to. And in fact, he tells them that, look here, I want you to be sure of this, that I love you. You are my boss. And when I make plans, it's not that I am yes and no. I am not speaking two ways. I don't say one thing and I mean another. In fact, all my conduct to you has been with clear, godly sincerity. And this is the thing that especially parents, you know, how we speak with children. You know, children easily lose confidence because you say you'll do this, then you don't do this. You say you'll do this, then you don't do this. You say you'll do this, then you don't do this. But if we learn to speak as Jesus, in fact, that's why he says, every promise, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that was preached to you, the promises that were spoken of Christ were yes, and the amen are spoken. That means let it be. Through the glory of God, every promise that God has made is yes and amen. And that's the one thing, you know, at times you say, oh, can you take that to the bank? When someone will make a statement that I am telling you this and you can take it to the bank, that means you can depend on it. Now, God is saying that everything that Jesus has promised us, be it life everlasting, be it healing, be it, you know, every promise that is in the Word of God, they are yes and amen. Now the question if someone will ask, but why is it not what I see? Anytime you see a contradiction, you must ask yourself, what is the truth? Is it what I am facing now? Or is it what God's word is? And if you settle without a shadow of doubt that God's word remains to be true, in spite or despite my present situation, then that tells you that your present circumstance can never be the truth. The truth remains what God has said. Then that means what you are facing, it may be a fact in the natural, but it is not a truth in the supernatural. It is not the truth of what God says we are. Think of when God meets Gideon, he calls him mighty man of valor. To heaven, to God, Gideon was a mighty man of valor. But to him, he was a coward. He was the least of his family members. His tribe was the least. He was still hiding while making, you know, grain and trying to winnow the wheat in a cave where there is no wind. Yet to heaven calls him a mighty man of valor. We look at ourselves, we're in earlier on speaking about the righteousness of God imputed. God looks at us and says, look at my righteous ones. Look at my sons and daughters. Look at this kingdom of kings and priests. Look at these sons of God. Look at these begotten children of mine. And yet when we see ourselves as grasshoppers. We see ourselves in weaknesses. We see ourselves in defeat. Yet God calls us out and says, these are my beloved children, whom I have loved, whom I have sent my son to die for. If God is to give us his eyes, then we shall start to see things as he sees, to have his thoughts. That's why he says his thoughts are way higher than our thoughts, his ways much higher than our ways. Can we ask God to give us that sight to see that his promises are yes and amen, despite what we are facing. And as you start to live that life that lives according to the word of God, you might even be considered to be mad. Because to you, you will say you have the righteousness of God. You will say that you have the life of God. You will say that you cannot be sick. You have divine health. Yet your outward body is wasting away. But your inner man is being renewed day by day. You're being renewed. Why? Because you have chosen to believe the word of God. And as you believe, you speak. As you believe, you confess. That word has no power when it is just unconfessed. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It starts with the word. It starts by you sitting with the word, meditating on the promises of God. This book of the Lord, do not let it depart from your mouth. It is your mouth that speaks and confesses the truth of the word of God. And that truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. When you stand by the word, my brother, my sister, stand by the truth, you will realize that every promise of Christ is yes and amen. Has he promised you health? Yes and amen. Has he promised that he was made poor that he might be made rich? Yes and amen. Has he declared that this is the year of the favor of the Lord? That indeed he has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to bring recovery to those who are in darkness. To bring recovery of sight to the blind. He has come to bring forth the captives. Those who are held even according to their will. He has come to set them free. Has he come to deliver you? Yes. And amen. Has he come to bless even those, the barren, that they may be joyful mother of children, to settle them in their homes? Yes and amen. Every promise of God is yes and amen. And as you start to speak it, that word impregnates your life. It impregnates your spirit. And that word starts to become flesh in you. The word became flesh. And when you learn to live according to the word, nothing will shake you. You will be in trouble and people are crying out and you are at peace. Why? Because you know something about God. You have a secret with God. You know what he says, that you shall not be chased away as those running away. No. We shall be led forth in peace. We shall burst forth in singing. The Lord has done great and mighty things for us. Paul was very categorical and is telling them that, look here, when I made these plans, I just did not want to make you sorrowful. Because if I make you sorrowful, who will be there to make me joyful? Yes, I'd ask you to collect an offering. I don't want to burden you. You are my children. He's trying to tell them that, look here, it is parents who should save up for their children, not children saving up for their parents. I know we have a different type of upbringing where we're told, oh, it's the children to save up for their parents. But Paul is saying, no, a good man, the scriptures tell us a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It is parents who labor for their children. And he's like, I didn't want to do that. So don't think that I lied to you. I did not lie to you. I just wanted to spare you the burden, because if I make you sorrowful, who will be left to make us sorrowful? And he tells us, look here, what did Christ do? For him to leave us, to anoint us, God anointed us by his Spirit. He left us the Holy Spirit. Now when he says he has sealed us and given us the Spirit, who is our guarantee. God's guarantee of his word. God's guarantee of eternal life. God's guarantee that we are marked by him, sealed. That means, you know, there is a mark of approval over your life. A mark that you are a child of God. A mark that you are loved by God. is the Holy Spirit. As long as you can hear him, as long as you can sense him, as long as you know he is with you, that is your guarantee that you are a child of God. That is your guarantee that you're going to heaven. That is your guarantee that you are the righteousness of God, because God has dwelt in you. You are the temple of God. May this truth sink in you, that you're going to heaven because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. He is life. He is life. He is the life of God. Be at peace, child of God. Every promise of God is yes and amen. And if you don't have an answer for your situation, that means you have not found the word of God for that situation. Ask him. He says he gives wisdom to those who ask him. Ask him. He will tell you what is amiss. And when you know it, obey, act on it, and you shall see the fullness of God. You shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm going to stop here, and I pray that God gives us insight into his word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that your word is life. Your word is yes and amen. And we speak today that every promise we have heard from you, every promise that we have received in the word, everything that you have spoken, it shall come to pass. We believe it. We speak it. We speak life. We speak health. We speak answers. We speak breakthrough. We speak wealth. We speak healings and favor, increase all around us, O God. More importantly, we speak that the Spirit of God manifests in our lives. We see the evidence of the life of God in our lives. We are not defeated. We are not for shame. We are not disappointed. We are not for the dead, but we are for the living. We are alive today. And cancer dies, pressures normalize, sicknesses are gone. Father, we thank you that you answer all prayers. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.